So holiness with an unholy motive, is that even conceivable? Well, because of human depravity, it is. And that is what we will be... Where's the click? Okay, that is what we are going to consider today as we continue our study of Christian holiness. We are now more or less in the last section, and after this, some concluding lessons na lang, and I hope to finish, as I said, by lecture 150, and we are in lecture number 142, and dealing with the issue of motives. Remember, in our brief review of the theology of motives last week, we define it as the inner compulsion that drives to action. Merong mga nagtutulak sa'yo sa isang pagkilos o pag-uugali, the disposition or the inward force. And while motives are not regarded too highly in today's externally oriented world, we are oriented to image, and in that kind of orientation, motives take the back seat. But in the eyes of God, I made the point that motives are of prior issue to make a work acceptable to Him. And we must remember that God possesses absolute knowledge of motives. We don't. That's the reason why we cannot be judgmental. Hindi tayo pwede maging panghusga sapagkat hindi natin alam ang motibo sa likod ng ginagawa ng isang tao. Maaring sa mga susunod na panahon ng patuloy na gawain ay magkaroon tayo ng hinala na makumpirma ang kanyang motibo, but offhand, we do not know the motive of a man or a woman, but God does. God does know absolutely, and the reason why motives are important are for these two reasons: that bad motives defile even good actions, while good motives lighten even flawed actions. So yung motibo nagbibigay ng talagang value doon sa ating ginagawa, whether good or bad. And when we come to believers, it's not a neat kind of motivation we have, because we are simul justus et peccator, in the language of Martin Luther. Our motives are often mixed. They're not all good, they're not all bad, but there is a mixture of good and bad motives, which means that there will be constant inner conflicts that believers are waging. And that is a fact of life. So motives and works may coincide or they may contradict. So that is the basic fact we established last Sunday. Meron tayong gawa, meron tayong motibo. Ang gawa natin maaring mabuti, hindi ibig sabihin agad na ang motibo ay mabuti rin. They may not coincide, they may contradict. The same is true with good motive, but the action may be wrong because of lack of instruction. So you can have all kinds of combinations between motives and actions. Now we come to the motives that we are going to consider. As I said, if we look at the motives one by one as we have them identified in the scriptures, we will get to lecture 200, and I'm not willing to do that. So instead, I am categorizing the motives from in an ascending order, starting with what is bad, and then what is not really bad but not the highest of motives. So I arrange it this way. We begin with selfishness, the one sinful motive that we can have in the pursuit of holiness. Then we will follow that with fearfulness, happiness. These are not the highest of motives, but in themselves they are not wrong. They can be they can be wrong in certain ways, but in themselves they are not. And we will see that God does use fear sometimes, or the attraction of happiness. Then blessedness and thankfulness. We are now going to the higher motives: thankfulness, Christ-likeness, and Godwardness, where we have the highest motive of glorifying God and enjoying Him. Now, some of this we will consider in pairs, but for the particular and singular wrong motive that we can have in the pursuit of holiness, we will consider this singularly, and that is the motive of selfishness. It means selfishness is to have a self-oriented disposition and often accompanied by disregard for others. Now, I want us to be very clear about this because there are those who think that to be able to deal with selfishness, you must have no self in your thinking, which is asking the impossibility. It's asking the impossible. Hindi mangyayari. The opposite of selfishness is not selflessness. I have heard that very often used by well-meaning Christians, that a Christian should have a selfless motive. You never can be selfless because we are all real selves. So self is an unavoidable reality. Everything we are, everything we do is as oneself. And it's not wrong because we are created in the image of God, and part of that image is that we are a reflection of God. And reflecting God, among other things, means we are self-conscious. And that is therefore an impossible quest to look for selflessness. There is no selflessness, but selfishness is putting self first as primary above other issues. That makes it selfish. Wag kapag nauna ang sarili kaysa sa iba pang mga bagay na mas mahalaga, pero na isang tabi sila o nawalang saysay sila dahil inuna ang sarili, that's when it becomes selfish. But to think of self, to have oneself in your consideration, is not just a natural thing, it is an unavoidable thing because that's what we are. You came here, of course, fixing yourself, and I would like to believe that you did so not to be not to display your image, but because you want to be well presented as far as yourself is concerned, and there's nothing wrong with that. So this selfishness that we are considering is a sinful motive. But sinful that we are, it can drive even the pursuit of holiness. So isipin ninyo yung pagkakabalintuna ng hinahanap mong maging banal, pero sa isang paraan na hindi banal, isang makasalanang motibo. This is something that we need to expose, because if we can be selfish in many other pursuits, pursuit of ambition, pursuit of a job, pursuit of wealth, we can be selfish in those things. The easiest to hide is when we pursue holy things. And those holy things will cover up a selfish motive. So I'd like to identify what those selfish motives are. And the first that can characterize mostly unbelievers, but also in a partial way believers, is legalism. Legalism is to be driven by self-righteousness as ground of acceptance with God. Ito ang nangyayari kapag ikaw ay gumagawa ng isang gawaing banal, pero ginagawa mo sa iyong paniniwala, tinatanggap ako ng Diyos sa pamamagitan nitong aking ginagawa. Sa makatwid, ang motibo ay sa hangarin mong maging katanggap-tanggap sa Diyos dahil ikaw ay nagpapakabanal. Now, that is just another term for salvation by works, which of course is what legalism is all about. This is what most religions are in the world. They have a zeal for righteousness, but their zeal for righteousness, which is good, is driven by their desire to be accepted by God. This is how Paul explains the zeal of the Jews. In Romans 10 verse 2, they have a zeal for God. Now, who would not want to have a zeal for God? I wish to God but Christians in churches today have that zeal for God, and I see little of it in many churches. And we want zeal for God because that is a good thing, but take note, as Paul says, they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And if you continue on the text, it says they were pursuing their own righteousness. Hinahanap nilang kanilang sariling katuwiran para sila tanggapin ng Diyos. Kaya kapag may ginagawa ka para ikaw ay tanggapin ng Diyos dahil sa iyong ginagawa, bumabagsak ka na sa salvation by works. And this is not the correct motive for holy activities. The gospel is the root of all pursuit of holiness. And what is the gospel? The good news that God has done what should be done in order to render sinners acceptable to Him. That's the gospel. He sent His Son. And through the Son, we are accepted by God, not because of the things we have done, but because of Jesus Christ. And if I'm speaking to anyone who has not had that encounter with Jesus Christ, so that He is your Lord and Savior, the foundation of your standing with God, let this be the day when you will make Jesus truly the foundation of your standing with God, because there is no other. Only Jesus Christ is. As Paul reminds the Thessalonians, our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit. In other words, the gospel does not only settle our salvation by believing its word, it settles our life. Our life is so fixed, not perfectly, but nonetheless sufficiently, so that the life of the believer will be different from the life of the unbeliever, because the Holy Spirit, being the first blessing of salvation, the Holy Spirit empowers him, enables him to live the holy life. At yun ang sinabi niya sa mga susunod na talata ng 1 Thessalonians. So from this form of selfishness, I conclude that legalism betrays lack of faith in the gospel. And beware, mere zeal for God is not equivalent to gracious holiness. So maraming mga bagay na maaaring masigasig. Nakikita mong isang tao, masigasig siya sa simbahan, o masigasig siya sa kawang gawa, sa lipunan, masigasig siya sa usapin ng katarungan, ng hustisya. His voice is very vocal when it comes to protest against injustice and all this oppression in society. And all of these things, there can be zeal for what is good, but that is not to be equated with gracious holiness if it is done with legalism. So, mag-ingat tayo rito. But beware, even believers may be guilty of a partial form of legalism. Pwede mangyari kahit sa mananampalataya na meron ka ng ebanghelyo, ikaw ay ligtas na, talagang para sa iyo, ang pagkatanggap sa iyo ng Diyos ay dahil kay Jesucristo, maganda yan. Pero, kung hindi mo papansinin at ikaw ay hindi malimit sa pagsuri ng iyong sariling motibo, hindi mo malalaman ay natatangay na ang motibo mo sa legalismo. So, I call it partial legalism, because the Christian cannot be guilty of full-blown legalism because he has rejected the works of the law. But Apostle Paul no less had to confront Apostle Peter no less in the encounter in Antioch, when he said, I had to confront Peter to his face. Why? He says, I saw that there and there be included Barnabas and others with Peter, because their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel. And again, if you continue on reading, verse 16 is where Paul gives the clear confession of every true believer, and that is what he is telling Peter. You and I know, we know that no flesh is justified by the law. So in other words, Paul could see that Peter, perhaps in his ignorance, or in at this point in his wrong motive, was driven to do something that was legalistic. If it happens to Peter already in his mature period, hindi na ito yung Peter at his denial, but rather Peter, who is now the settled leader of the church. At yet he still did something, and ang nangyari dyan ay limiting fellowship to those who are of the same acceptable tradition. Diba, nung wala pa mga Jewish party sa Antioch, ay nakikikain siya, nakikimil fellowship siya sa mga Gentiles. Nung mabalitaan niyang darating ang Jewish party, bigla siyang umiwas sa mga Gentiles at naki-fellowship lang sa mga Jews. And Paul would not let go of that. Kaya dito makikita natin ang uri ng legalism na maaring maging guilty tayo, contemptuous of fellow believers who are of different background. If you do not accept them as believers, for example, because they are not like you, reformed, and you meet a reformed Christian, he's not like you, Baptist. And you meet a reformed Baptist, still is not like you, and you can identify so forth and so on, that makes you different from others, and what you are not realizing is you are descending into legalism. And so partially, even believers can be guilty of legalism. Legalism in believers takes the form of basing acceptance with God. It can happen to us or brethren on what is not the gospel. So if you will only accept a brother or a sister into fellowship because he is reformed or because he follows your interpretation of a certain issue in the scriptures, I'm not denying the importance of these doctrines, brethren. I'm just speaking of fellowship, which means one, being one with others under Christ. And we should have that fellowship with believers, even of different backgrounds, based on the gospel, not on anything else. So, tingnan natin ang sarili natin sa usapin na yan. So, another motive that is selfish is materialism. This is the motive that is attracted to the gains, especially of the material kind. When holiness is pursued because there is a promise of blessing, a blessing of the material kind, that's selfishness. And this is the fruit many times of the kind of ministry that is called prosperity gospel. When your gospel is defined, among other things, you may not say that salvation is by prosperity, but if you include prosperity as part and parcel of becoming a Christian, you are guilty of a false teaching concerning the gospel. And there are many who are like that. And Apostle Paul warns against that kind of motive in godliness. Those who are imagining that godliness is a means of gain. Eh, pwede pala mangyari na nagpapakamaka-Diyos ka. Yan yung mga nananalangin. Ang laman ng panalangin palagi ay pagpalain sila ng ganito at ganyan na supply sa kanilang pangangailangan. Not that it is wrong to pray for our daily bread, as the Lord's Prayer teaches us, but pursuing holiness because there is that hidden motive that by doing so, you will be blessed. Blessed in a material, external way, that is materialism. So holiness should be its own attraction. You do not get attracted to something what you think is the reason for being holy, because that shows that you are not attracted to holiness as such, but to that which is attached to holiness, or you think so, that is attached to holiness, which is material gain. Holiness is called in the scriptures as the beauty of God in Psalm 29:2, and we can multiply that with other corroborating texts. It says, ascribe to the Lord, glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. You're using the ESV. It's the splendor. It's that radiant beauty. And what makes God beautiful to a worshiper, a Christian worshiper, is that He is the Holy God. You can be attracted to the power of God, nothing wrong in and of itself, but power alone will not render God the beautiful God that He is to the Christian. It is holiness that defines all His characters. You can speak of a holy wrath, not a wrathful holiness. Holiness defines everything about God. That's why when you say God is holy, you are describing all of God. And that makes Him attractive. So are we attracted to holiness for its own sake? Because with holiness is who God is. Now, especially in the matter of activities like giving, do not let your good works like giving be defined by material gains. Itong napakalaganap, very pervasive ito. Lumaki ako sa ganitong tuwing offering na lang, the offertory part ng service ay andyan ang mga pangako ng pagpapala ng kayamanan. May mga nagpapatotoo kung paano silang pinagpala materially. And as though, it makes you feel that if you are not as materially blessed, something is wrong with you. Something is wrong with your faith. And that is just one wrong effect of a motive that seeks holiness but defined by material gains. You give because God has given to us the most precious gift of all, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can never outgive God in that sense. Kaya tingnan natin na suriin ang ating mga motibo sa bagay na ito. The third is just to make it rhyme with the others na legalism, materialism. I'll call it narcissism, but it is still an accurate description. Narcissism, of course, is based on the mythological character Narcissus. Narcissus was hidden by his parents all his life until his adulthood. So he even did not know how he looked. There was no mirror in the place where he was hidden by the parents. But one day, he was by the side of a river that was very clear. And when he looked at the water, he saw an image there. Of course, well, it was his image, but he did not know because he never had an experience of looking at his image. And when he saw the image, he fell in love with that image. And in other words, he fell in love with himself. And that's narcissistic. When psychologists say that a person is narcissistic, it means a person preoccupied with self-image, preoccupied with himself. Now, you translate that into holiness. It is a person seeking to be holy so that he may impress others. So, pampasikat, pampa-impress ang ginagawa niya. At nangyayari ba yun? Nangyayari iyon sa iglesia. When people you can assume are impressed with holiness, and so you do holy things that will impress people, that's the very thing that easily possesses those who are in public service or public ministry. The Lord Jesus warns against those He calls the hypocrites, who love to stand and pray, and then as they pray, they make sure their voice is heard. Naririnig at siguro minemorize na nila kung gaano kaganda yung kanilang panalangin at naririnig ng iba at sila'y hangang-hanga sa kabanalan ng taong ito. And Lord Jesus Christ exposes the ugliness of it. However impressed others may be in the eyes of God, Jesus said, they have had their reward. They will not be rewarded by God because the reward they seek is that others may be impressed. They got it. And if that is all that we seek when we do holy things, para makita, we need to examine ourselves. I'm in the public ministry, and I have to say that this is one bout that I have to fight again and again, whether in preaching, in teaching, or in other public exercises. It is very easy to cross that line from wanting to glorify God, honor His word. That's why you labor and prepare. But even by the time you finish with your preparation, you already begin to be impressed with your own preparation. And then you preach and teach, and you still have that whisper of wrong motive, seeking that others may be impressed. So I know the struggle with this, and we need to admit and we need to examine ourselves that when we do anything of a holy nature, that our motives are not seeking to be impressed by others. Because when self-display becomes our obsession, it substitutes for the glory of God. Hindi pwedeng hinahanap mong hangaan ka at pagkatapos ay sabayan mo na hangaan ng Diyos. Hindi makikipagpaligsahan ang Diyos sa paghanga na ibinibigay. So Jesus rebuked the Pharisees on this very ground. You receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God. So they are two different things. They cannot coexist and cohabit as motives in the same heart. And that is why we need to overcome the motive of self-display by really seeking and praying that God would give us a motive that seeks His glory and to disown one's own honor as an object of quest. So dishonor, you see, is the periodic lot in faithful perseverance. When Apostle Paul listed the many things he has undergone in his ministry, they are opposites. They are opposite poles when he described what it is like to serve the Lord. And among other things, he said he had to go through beatings, imprisonments, riots, sleepless nights, hunger. And among other things, he said, through honor and dishonor. Now, there are times that you will be honored. Nothing wrong with that. We will look at that when we come to the issue of happiness. Is it right for us to be happy when we are commended? Nothing wrong with that. Commendation is something that can be encouraging. There is a place for that. However, Paul says, whether in honor or dishonor. O natutuwa ka nga na ikaw ay pinaparangalan, pero dismayado ka naman kapag hindi ka na pinaparangalan at sa kalip, yung kabaligtaran, ikaw ay sinusumbatan dahil sa iyong pagkiging makadiyos. Diyan, masusubok kung talagang hinahanap mo na maging makadiyos regardless of how people treat you or how people are either impressed of you or not. So when you persevere, there will be periods of dishonor. And remember that Christian living is rooted in what Paul calls the gospel, which to the Jews is a scandal, and to the Gentiles, the Greeks, is foolishness. That's the kind of gospel on which we ground our holiness. Unpopular. When the gospel becomes popular to the world, you can suspect it to be a false gospel, because a true and faithful gospel will always challenge the world's self-commendation. And they would have none of it. So kung talagang ebanghelyo yung tinitindigan mo, magiging handa ka sa unpopularity. And many times God uses it to disabuse us when we get intoxicated by commendation. And as I've said, there is place for it, but when there is too much of it and you're getting intoxicated, suddenly someone just disabuses you of all those commendations and you are turned into something, someone ugly in their criticism, or you get to encounter fault-finding people to whom everything is displeasing. How do you deal with that? Will you deal with that the same way you deal with commendation? You thank the Lord for whatever commendation comes your way, but at the same time, if criticisms come your way, it is still something that proves your gospel to be true and faithful. That's why it's unpopular, and therefore not a reason to be less zealous of holiness. So narcissism can motivate a person in a selfish way. And then finally is relativism, that is trying to compare how are you holy relative to others. So satisfied with favorable comparison to others. As long as you think yourself better than others, you are satisfied, and that renders your holy pursuit more or less satisfactory instead of having a holy dissatisfaction for as long as you have not attained perfection, which only is possible in glory. You see, there will always be people to whom you are better, or than whom you are better. So relativism is being occupied with finding fault to justify oneself. Para lang ma-justify ang sarili, ay tingnan mo nga siya. Hindi ako masyadong makapanalangin, pero nasa prayer meeting ako, siya wala. Kung ganun tayo mag-isip, ang pagpursige natin na maging banal ay nagiging comparison. And what does Paul say of this kind of attitude? You remember the parable he told of the self-righteous Pharisee? It is told with this in mind. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves. And the real lesson is not just that they trusted in themselves, but that they treated others with contempt. So you have two men who both went to the temple, the Pharisee and the tax collector. And the point of the story is not just the Pharisee listing all his virtuous accomplishments. The real punchline in the Pharisee's self-commendation is, I'm not like this tax collector. So as long as one could say, I'm not like, and you can add names or people or actions, and so I'm not like, I'm better, that's trusting oneself. That's comparison as a motive. And comparing with sinners or comparing with struggling saints is not a safe standard. It will always lower your standard if your standard is nothing more than comparison. That's why Paul says of the super apostles of Corinth, when they compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. So, walang kaunawa, kamangmangan. Ang isipin mo na mainam ang kalagayan mo kasi mas mainam ka kaysa sa iba. Whenever, as I've said, comparison becomes your drive, it will almost always result in a lowered standard of holiness. Either lowered standard for you, you then become discouraged, or lowered standard for others, you then become contemptuous. Either discouraged or contemptuous is not good for the pursuit of holiness. So there you have the motives that are wrong because they are selfish. But as I've said, we are not removing self in the pursuit of holiness. How then is self to be placed in pursuit of holiness? Well, let me just give you two examples where self is necessary in the pursuit of holiness. For example, the command, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, I made a point, I think, in a previous series of messages when we were still in the pandemic, that self-love is not commanded here. In fact, it doesn't say love your neighbor as you love yourself. It simply says love your neighbor as yourself. Because self-love is something that we all have again naturally. We have the instinct of self-preservation. That's natural. Nothing wrong with that. And what Jesus is saying is, you apply the second great commandment as you do it to yourself as a matter of nature. Now you make it a matter of holy standard to treat others that way. So see yourself in others is how you may paraphrase it. Kaya later, sinabi ng Panginoon, what many call the golden rule, do to others as you would have others do to you. You see there a consideration of what you like yourself to be treated as. Well, treat others first in that way. So it's not that you wait for them to treat you the way you want to be treated, but rather you treat them the way you want to be treated, because that is the standard of treatment of others. And then another, where self is in its right place, is to have our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ something personal. As Paul has it in Philippians 3 verse 8, I count everything as loss for the surpassing knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Let us never forget the community aspect of our faith. There is always the Our Father, our Lord. But let not the Our lose sight or bury altogether the my Lord. Jesus is not just our Lord as a church. He is. But Jesus is my Lord whether He is yours or not. That is the point. The personal to us. That's why you esteem the Lordship of Christ in your life. How is He your Lord? Regardless of how others are treating Him. That's where self has its place without being selfish. So there is a place for self in holiness without becoming a motive of selfishness of any form. Let us examine ourselves. If we are guilty of a selfish motive in holiness, and let us have the right thought on this. The right thinking is that which humbly admits selfishness can still rear its head as a motive, even in the pursuit of holiness, because I'm still a sinner. So, wag tayong dumating sa punto na wala na sa akin yan. Selfish yung ganung pagsasalita. Pag dinideny niya ang possibility of selfishness. So, there must be an admission. That is why it becomes a resolve. I will not rest in examining myself to have an unselfish motive by the grace of God and enabling of the Holy Spirit. So is it possible to be unselfish? Yes. Not possible to be selfless, but possible to be unselfish. But it needs constant examination. Where am I being selfish? Where am I being driven by materialism or by narcissism, by self-impression? And we need to deal with this. The kind of thinking that is driven sinfully thinks having an unavoidable self-interest in all that I do I cannot help myself from being selfish in my pursuit of holiness and good works. So he thinks that if you think of self, that is already selfishness, and the devil can use that misunderstanding to actually bring you to a selfish motive. So he becomes resolved. If the work I do is good, that should count for holiness, regardless of selfishness that is native in being myself. No, it's not native. It is sinful. And therefore, something to be mortified when we pursue holiness. So exercise self-denial. And self-denial is not erasing self, as I have heard some portray it. No, it is not erasing self. It is denying self the primary position in our consideration. So we recognize self as it is related to Jesus Christ. We can emulate the Apostle Paul in thinking of himself this way: by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Now, first, it's not Paul boasting my labor was greater than the rest of the apostles. It's not what he's saying. He's saying that the Lord has brought him farther in the advance of the kingdom than the rest of the apostles, who were confined to a particular geographical location. He was brought as a missionary to many more places. But he recognizes deep within, it is by the grace of God. So what I am is grace of God. Remember how he indicts himself in the previous verses: I persecuted the church of God. I do not deserve anything. But what I am now is by the grace of God, and now what I am able to do in the mission of God, still by the grace of God. In the beginning, in the end, and everything between, a truly well-motivated believer sees himself defined by the grace of God. That's overcoming selfishness.